Good evening, everyone. We'll make a wee start just to our prayer meeting tonight by singing together the first hymn just in our wee hymn sheet, number 7 in our own hymn book, a great hymn of testimony and praise that says, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in." Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And let the earth hear his voice. We pray the Lord will bless the words of this great hymn to our hearts this evening. But just keep our seats while we sing as our sister leads us in the organ, please. Unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us look afresh to the Lord this evening. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we come, O God, afresh before Thee tonight in the attitude of prayer and of praise. We come to Thee in and through the precious, prevailing, powerful name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the One who loved us, the One who gave Himself for us upon the cross. And O God, we thank Thee tonight, O Lord, for the great truth of the gospel, that Thy word tells us that He gave His life a ransom for many. And Father, we thank Thee that Christ paid the ransom price for our redemption, that we might be delivered from the wrath to come, that we might know our sins forgiven and be made partakers of the divine nature, inheritors of the kingdom of God, because of Christ who died upon the cross, who rose again victorious, who is our great high priest in the glory. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for the sinless, perfect life of Christ, that He knew no sin, He did no sin. He is indeed the altogether lovely one. And Father, we thank Thee that He kept the law of God perfectly for us. And Father, we thank Thee that on the cross He bore the penalty, the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. He, as our substitute, He bore that penalty in full upon the cross when He cried out, "It is finished." And Father, we thank Thee for that new and that living way that He has opened up for us at the cross. And Father, we thank Thee tonight even for the words of this hymn of which we've been singing, "To God and be the glory, great things He have done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son." And O God, we thank Thee for Thy great love toward us and the giving and the sending of Thy Son. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, for Thy great love toward us as Thy people and bringing us to salvation and saving us by the grace and power of God. And even, O God, by keeping us to this very hour. And Lord, as we come before Thee this night, we just pray for the blessing of God upon this prayer meeting. We realize, O God, that it is Thy presence that makes the feast. And Father, we pray that Thou will just cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood of our Savior. And Father, make us every whit whole, we ask of Thee. Create within us that clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us that right spirit. Take away from us anything that might hinder our fellowship and our communion, O God, with Thee this night. And Lord, just bless us tonight around Thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. We rejoice, O God, that Thy word is a living word, that Thy word is eternal, that it is incorruptible, and that it is a speaking word. And Lord, do speak to us tonight from Thy word. Grant us each one a word in season from the Lord. And Lord, help us to hide Thy word, O God, in our heart, that we might not sin against Thee, and that we might be strengthened by the power of God through Thy word in our lives this evening. And Lord, bless us also in the season of prayer. We thank Thee, O God, that we can call upon Thee, that we can come to Thee, our Father, and we can spread all our needs and cares and burdens before the Lord. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou dost never weary of Thy people coming to Thee in prayer. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast said that Thine eye is upon the righteous and that Thine ear is open unto their prayers. We thank Thee, O God, for those times that Thou hast heard and answered prayer. And Father, we thank Thee that we can call upon Thee in our time of need, and we can come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy in our time of need. Bless us tonight. Help us, Lord, to pray. Teach us to pray, O God. Burden our hearts. Give us each one that spirit of prayer and supplication. Give us help at the throne of grace and prayer. Lord, may we meet with Thee, O God, tonight we pray. And Lord, grant us a season of refreshing and blessing from the presence of the Lord. We thank Thee, O God, for all who have been able to come tonight, for every family and household represented. You do meet the need of every home. Lord, unite our family circles in the Lord. And Lord, encourage Thy people. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of Thy might. And Lord, just meet the need of every individual heart and life. Remember, Lord, those as well that would listen in online, whoever they are, wherever they might be even tonight. Lord, bless them also, we pray. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast promised, Lord, to supply all our needs out of Thy riches, O God, in glory. And we pray that Thou wilt meet the needs of Thy people and Thy church at this time, we pray. We thank Thee, Lord, for the meeting tonight in Fresno, for every boy and girl who come in to hear Your word. And Lord, Thou said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Father, we pray that even through that word this night amongst the boys and girls, that there'll be those that will be made wise unto salvation, O Lord, we pray. Remember, Lord, other prayer meetings such as this tonight, gospel missions on at this time, drive-in meetings. Remember that drive-in mission there that our brother Colin and Noel is conducting down in Mullaglass.
Bless them there tonight, we pray. May they know the help and the blessing of the Lord there in the preaching of thy word. Remember our land tonight for good and all of its need, we pray. We pray that thou wilt turn the hearts of many unto the Lord. And that, Father, in these days in which we live, that we might know and see days of refreshing and revival from the presence of the Lord. Abide with us now, we pray. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. And Lord, may we leave this meeting house tonight, saying and knowing it was good for us to be here. For here we met afresh with thee, our God and our Savior. Remember again the sick, the sad and the sorrowing, we pray. Comfort their hearts. Give healing and help to those in need, we pray. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the book of the Psalms, to the Psalm number 23. The Psalm number 23 for our Bible reading this evening. While you're looking it up, we welcome everyone tonight. It's good to see so many gathered with us here this evening in the place of prayer, and also those joining with us online. We welcome you also. The prayers of the Lord will bless you tonight. If you're a believer in the Lord, you'll be encouraged in the Lord. Indeed, also for anyone who may be listening in unsaved as well, that the Lord would speak to you, that you might come to know and trust the Lord for salvation. Remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Friday night children's meeting 6:30, youth fellowship 8 o'clock, and then the services on the Lord's Day morning, Sunday school Bible class 11 a.m., morning worship 12 noon, evening gospel meeting at 7, and the will of the Lord will be long to bring God's word. So do remember these meetings in your prayers and plan to join with us in the will of the Lord. Psalm 23 and the verse number 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. We'll end our reading there. I pray as God will bless the reading of this portion to all our hearts. The verse I want us just to look at this evening is the opening verse of that psalm, verse number 1. Where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, Psalm 23 is a very well-known part of the Bible. Indeed, it is a portion of Scripture that is often learned by children from their earliest of days. And it is often the case that this is the last portion of Scripture that a person hears before they pass out into God's eternity. And although it was written by David over some 3,000 years ago, its words are as meaningful today as ever, even as in the day in which David penned the psalm. Psalm 23 has rightly been called an oasis in the desert because of its refreshing words. Indeed, it has been likened unto a precious jewel, for it magnifies the grace of God. It has also been called the Believer's Creed because its words are indeed the testimony of many. And then it has also been called the Psalm of the Crook because it really shows the Lord to be the shepherd of his people. And that was certainly a truth that David himself could identify with, for he himself was a shepherd boy who tended his father's flock. Yes, Psalm 23 is a portion of Scripture that is very precious to all God's people. And over the coming weeks in our Bible study, I want us just to look at some of the highlights of this great psalm. We begin this study really with the words here of verse 1 this evening, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And here David describes the Lord as the shepherd who looks after his sheep. And in reality, here in these words, David is giving a personal word of testimony as he commences the psalm. When he utters these words, he is testifying, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He gives a word of testimony here. You know, it's always good for the Christian to give a word of testimony. Indeed, Peter writes to God's people about that very matter in his epistle, and he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." And God's people are to be always ready to give a word of testimony for the Lord as they live for the Lord. And that's really what David is doing here in the opening verse of this Psalm 23. And as we would look just here at David's testimony briefly tonight in verse 1, there are three things I want you just to notice from this testimony. Notice first of all here, David's confession. David's confession. He says here, "The Lord is my shepherd." And really by those words there, David is inferring that when he talks about the Lord being a shepherd, thus he is inferring that he himself and his nature, that's the nature of David, is a nature that is like unto a sheep. That's really what he is confessing here, that his nature is like that of a sheep. And that is how it is with all God's people. Indeed, the Bible says we are the sheep of his pasture. And enlightening here his nature to being like that of a sheep. What is David doing here? He's really confessing his folly. For sheep are animals that are noted for their folly. Without a shepherd, they will go anywhere but in the right direction and in the right place. Therefore, David here is highlighting his own personal need of the Lord's wisdom in his life and his need of the Lord's direction in his life. And child of God, surely it's the same also with you and I. Yes, by nature, you and I, we are prone to folly. By nature, we are prone to going astray, to going our own way. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." That's our case by nature. Therefore, if we are to walk aright with the Lord, we need the Lord's wisdom in life. We need the Lord's direction in our life. Therefore, we must seek the Lord for wisdom. We must rely upon the Lord to guide us aright in life and give us his wisdom. Indeed, James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Yes, here he confesses his folly by referring to his nature here to being like that of a sheep. But also enlightening himself to a sheep here, David also is confessing his own weakness. Again, use the illustration of the sheep. The sheep are animals that are weak and by and large helpless creatures. And likewise, in and of himself, David was weak spiritually. In and of himself, David was weak physically. And it's the same of all of us who are saved. We in reality have no strength of our own. And the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us of that in the Gospel of John when he says, "Without me ye can do nothing." We are weak in and of ourselves. Therefore we must continually look to the Lord for needed strength day by day. How we need to look to the Lord for physical strength. How we need to look to the Lord for spiritual strength. And we praise God that the Lord is one who has the strength that we need for our lives. Day by day. Turn with me your Bible back there to Deuteronomy chapter number 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And just look at the latter part there of verse number 25 of Deuteronomy chapter 33. Notice the wonderful promise of the Lord's strength that says, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." The Lord is the strength that we need for our days, day by day, whatever those needs are. He is the one that can give us physical strength. He is the one that can give us spiritual strength. Yes, enlightening himself here unto his sheep, David, yes, he confesses his folly. He confesses his weakness. But also enlightening himself to his sheep, David here highlights the perversity even of his own will. Again, think of a sheep. The sheep will not return to the fold without the shepherd's help or without the sheepdog or whatever, rounding them up and bringing them back into the fold. And likewise, it was the grace of God that brought David to the Lord for salvation. It was the grace of God at work in his life. He could say in Psalm 65, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee." And it was the grace of God that brought David to the Lord for salvation and overcame the perversity of his own sinful will. Likewise, believer in Christ in the meeting tonight, it is also the grace of God that has brought you and I to Christ for salvation. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved." Our salvation from start to finish is all the grace of God. Yes, with the hymn writer we must say, "Grace turned my wandering feet to tread the heavenly road." Yes, we've been saved by the grace of God. And it is the grace of God that has brought us to the Lord for salvation. Yes, we see here David's confession. But the second thing here to note in this verse is David's assurance. Notice again what David says here in our text. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Notice the word "my" there. And there you see that David was a man who had the assurance that the Lord was indeed his shepherd. And child of God, in our meeting tonight, this is also your assurance as well. Yes, you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Yes, the Lord is your shepherd. And my David, he had this assurance. Why? Because he, as I already mentioned, he had experienced the saving grace of God in his life. In Psalm 40, verse 2, he could say of the Lord, "He brought me also up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay." The Lord had saved him from a lost eternity. And likewise, believer, you too can testify of the Lord's saving grace. Yes, through the blood of Christ, dear believer, you've been saved from the wrath to come, saved from going down to the pit and from a lost eternity. Turn with me your Bible over to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. And look at what Paul says there to you and I in verse number 9 about this very fact that we've been saved from a lost eternity through the blood of Christ. He says in Romans 5 verse 9, he says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Saved from the wrath to come. Saved from a lost eternity. My David had this assurance that the Lord was his shepherd because he had experienced the saving grace of God in his life. He knew he was going to heaven, that he was saved from the wrath to come. And likewise, child of God, that's your assurance in the meeting tonight as well. Redeemed by the blood of Christ, dear believer, you've been saved, it says there, from the wrath to come through Christ, through the blood of the cross. But then we can say further here that David had this assurance of the Lord being a shepherd because he was one who had experienced God's restoring grace in his life. Look at what he says further on down the psalm there in verse number 3 about the Lord. He says, "He restoreth my soul." He knew the restoring touch of God in his life. Likewise, dear people of God, throughout our lives as God's people, we too have known the Lord's restoring touch, the Lord's restoring grace in our lives when we went astray, when we've done our own thing and went into Bypath Meadow. Praise God, the Lord did not leave us to ourselves. He did not leave us to our own ways. When we went astray, the Lord in grace has drawn us back to himself, to the place he has for us and to his will for our lives. And it's all a testimony of his restoring grace. Over there in Hebrews chapter number 12 and in the verse number 11, Paul there speaks of how the Lord works out this restoring touch in the lives of his people, even through chastening in the life of the believer. And this is what he says in Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse number 11. He says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless,
afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That really speaks to you and I of the restoring grace of God in our lives, even through the Lord's chastenings in our lives as God's people. David could say, yes, the Lord is my shepherd because the Lord has saved him. He could say, yes, the Lord is my shepherd because he had known the restoring grace of God on his life. But he could also say, the Lord is my shepherd. He had this assurance that the Lord was a shepherd because he had known God's protecting grace in his life. You remember what he said whenever he went out to face the giant Goliath? In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37, he says there, the Lord delivered me, he says, out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Those are ferocious creatures that would devour a man and tear a man apart. Yet David knew the protecting grace of God as he faced the bear and as he faced the lion. Indeed, he knew God's protection as he faced the giant Goliath himself. Dear Christian, this has been our portion as well. Yes, each of us who are saved by the Lord's grace, yes, we have known the Lord's protection in our lives day by day as the people of God. Yes, we can say, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my hiding place. He's the one that protects us day by day as the people of God. My Corrie ten Boom's sister Betsy, speaking of this very truth to her sister on one occasion, she said these words. She says, there are no ifs in God's world. The center of His will is our safety. And she was a woman who rested and relied upon the protecting grace of God, even in times of great trial and great adversity. But then we can say further that David here had this assurance that the Lord was his shepherd because he had known God's provision in his life. He'd known the providing grace of God in his life. Read through the life of David in Scripture, and you'll see the Lord providing time after time after time for David. He could say, I have been young, now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That was his assurance, that was his testimony as an old man. After he had lived for the Lord many years. And dear people of God, this too is our testimony in life as we have sought to do God's will in life and obey the Lord. We've known the Lord's bountiful provision. We've known God's provision in each of our lives. My, one of the great titles of the Lord is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And my, it's an all a testimony of the Lord's providing grace in our lives. Yes, David's confession, David's assurance. Notice one final thought here. Notice David's confidence. Look at what he says there at the end of verse 1 of Psalm 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he says, I shall not want. I shall not want. Those words are in the future tense. David here is looking into the future. And as David looks into the future, he is confident that he shall not want. He is confident here that the Lord will meet his every need. Indeed, speaking of the Lord in another psalm, he says these words. He says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And David had this wonderful confidence that in the future, God would meet his every need. You'll notice there, in verse 1, how he uses the word Lord. It's spelt in capital letters. That's the word Jehovah. That's the actual word there that David is using in the verse, the word Jehovah. And Jehovah means the self-existent one, the great I am, the one who is, the one who forever shall be. Yes, he is the one who is unsearchable in his riches, one who is almighty in his power, one who is unfailing in his faithfulness, one who is unchanging in his love. Thus David had this great confidence as he looks out into the future. Because the Lord Jehovah was his shepherd, the great I am. He says, I shall not want. He had that confidence for future days. And likewise, believer, you and I also have this same confidence for the future days of our life.
The Lord says, them that honor me, I will honor. And whenever we honor the Lord, we can depend upon the Lord in the future to meet our needs, physical needs and temporal needs. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Also, we can depend upon the Lord to meet our every spiritual need. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Tell me, child of God, is there a need in your life tonight? Perhaps some physical need, some temporal need? Perhaps some spiritual need? Do you foresee some need in coming days as you look out into the future before you in the will of the Lord, and you see that need, as it were, looming on the horizon before you? Well, dear child of God, pray about that need. Ask the Lord to meet that need. Ask the Lord to help you. And I tell you this, you will find the Lord no disappointment. You turn over there to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. And look at what the Lord says to you and I about our needs. What are we to do? Luke chapter 11, verse number 9. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And that really speaks of prayer. Whatever that need is in your life, believer, whatever that need will be tomorrow or some future day in your life as you look upon it, ask the Lord to help. Seek the Lord in prayer. Knock, as it were, at heaven's door. Ask the Lord to step into the situation. Ask the Lord to meet the need. Look to the Lord in faith. And the Lord delights in faith. He delights in the faith of his people. And he rewards the faith of his people. And he honors the faith of his people when we ask. Turn with me your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Look at what Paul says there in verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter number 11. He says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Notice the promise, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him in faith. He honors the faith of his children in their times of need, who seek him, who call upon him, who lean upon him, who look to him, who cry to him in prayer. The Lord honors the faith of his people. It says there, he will reward those that diligently seek him in faith in the place of prayer. Child of God, let us be those who heed these words. And my child of God, in doing so, yes, you'll be able to say with the hymn writer about the Lord, every need his hands supplying. Indeed, with confidence, you'll be able to say with David in the psalm as you look into the future, I shall not want, because the Lord of glory, the Lord Jehovah, is my shepherd, my Savior for time and all of eternity. May God bless his word and these few thoughts just to our hearts and our souls this evening. We'll just get down to our time of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray tonight and seek the Lord, men and women, young and old alike. And as often said, let there be no gaps. Let us pray one with another, one for another, just as the Lord would lead us tonight. Remember the services, pray for them, God's blessing upon them, and all the different aspects of the work over the week. Pray for the salvation of souls. We thank the Lord for visitors in last week, those that are in on sea, pray for them. The Lord would speak to them and save them by his grace and power. Pray for new families to be brought in from the community. Do remember the sick in your prayers. Do remember Olive and Harold. Do remember the elderly in this firm as well. The shut-ins, remember them in your prayers. Do remember also Norma's sister, Julie, hoping to go for surgery in a few weeks' time. Remember her in your prayers. And remember also Eileen's brother, Gordon, and Basil at this time as well in your prayers. Do remember the bereaved as well. And remember our lamb. Pray for revival. And do remember the COVID situation as well. And do pray for our missionaries at home and abroad. Do remember the situation out in Nepal there with the COVID, that God's restraining hand would be upon it. And protect our sister Joy and
other believers out there who labor with her in that land. Paul Saffa and others connected with the church said the Lord would watch over them at this time. And her brother Colin and Noel commence a drive-in mission tonight down in her Mullagh Glass church for 4 nights through to Friday night. So remember that in your prayers. The Lord will bless them there, and the Lord will undertake at this time of sowing the gospel. So encourage as many as possible tonight to pray, to seek the Lord, to call upon His name. Ask our brother, maybe Keith, to lead us off in prayer. And then our brother, Mr. Jeffrey Scott as well. And then maybe also our brother, Mr. Noel Foy. And then one after the other, just as the Lord would lead. Our brother Keith, our brother Jeffrey, and our brother Noel. And then one after the other, as the Lord would lead. Men and women, young and old alike, let us seek the Lord and pour out our hearts before Him, please.